About themselves, but a faithful man who can find. Now, a father plays an important role in the life of any family, and God has appointed the fathers to be responsible for the family. Now, not all men are biologically fathers, but they are fathers in the sense that they're people that look up to them. He's given fathers the headship. But along with that comes a lot of responsibility. And my clicker's not working this morning. Go to the next slide then. There we go. Thank you. I didn't give it over to Dusty and he didn't pray over it, so. Fathers are important. This is Father's Day. I want to talk to you about faithful fathers. And one thing, the scripture said, who can find a faithful man? Okay, go to the next slide. Who can find a faithful man? Integrity is an important part of all men and women, but we're talking about fathers today. It's not just saying that you are something, it is being something, truly being a man of integrity in private. Now, you see, integrity is what you are, your type of character you are. But it's not just out in the public. Some are that way out in the public, but in private, it's different. See, it's when no one else around is looking, when there's no other human being around that's watching you, what kind of person are you? See, God always watching. That's the fear of the Lord, that you know God's watching you so that you're careful because God is watching you. I think of the little joke about the burglar, broke into a house, person had a talking parakeet, and as the guy was going through the house, he said, Jesus is watching you, and the burglar just kept on going. No. Jesus is watching you, he kept saying, Jesus is going to get you, guy just, Bird, will you shut up? Well, he turned around, and here there was a Rockweiler, and his name was Jesus. Jesus was watching him. God is watching us all the time, and integrity is something that we have when no one else is around. It's rooted in integrity by God's grace. It's rooted in integrity by God's grace. Next slide, please. Integrity comes when we have a right relationship with God. We have to have a right relationship with God in order to have integrity. Now, I know some people have integrity and you say they're not Christian, but you see, it comes when you have a right relationship with God. See, if you're not right with God, then you're not right with the family the way you should be. See, it's not the way that God requires. God requires us to be men of integrity. What kind of character are we? I said on the radio, I've heard too many times, men, I've worked in public work around rough people, construction work, guys smoke marijuana and all kinds of stuff like that, and the steel construction, masonry construction that I worked in. Too often I've heard them say, there any women or children around? I got a story to tell you. No. So, and I've often heard guys say, you know, I can look, but I can't touch. I'm married now. No. If you're married, you're done looking too. See, integrity, what we are. It's next slide. It's being a true Christian. A true Christian. See, God says, these words which I command you this day shall be in your heart. And you'll teach them diligently unto your children. You'll talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. It's supposed to be in our heart first. Too many men, they try to use the word to control people. Now the Bible says, honor your father and your mother. And it does. But the Bible's plain, it has to be in your heart, in here, before you try and teach it to them. It's got to be there. See, if we're going to teach them to our family, it first has to be in our heart. God's word has to be in our heart if we're going to be able to teach it to them. See, if they're not, then they're only clubs and to beat and manipulate people into obeying. Unfortunately, that goes on all too often. See, next slide. Integrity has to be a priority. Integrity has to be a priority in our lives. See, it's not just a byproduct or something that you hope for. I hope I got it. It's a byproduct of our walking with God and being right with God because we know God's watching us. God sees us. He knows the very intentions of our hearts. Psalm 139 says, he knows my down sitting, my uprising. He knows my thoughts afar off. He knows what you think before you're even going to think them. And so, integrity is a byproduct of living for God, living with God, being a relationship with him. Because God is good, we should be good. Because God is integritous, we should be integritous. It's a part of being in a relationship with him. It's something we must seek. We have to pursue it to obtain it. It doesn't always come naturally. Doesn't always come naturally. Integrity. Next slide. Has to be integrity in marriage. Like I said, sometimes I hear guys, they say, you know, I can look, but I can't touch. And no, you can't touch either. You can't look because you're done looking then. Now, I know times some pretty thing will catch your eye. But it's just like, well, sometimes it's just like that's Chevy Super Sport 390 goes by all shiny and everything. It'll catch your eye. okay? And you watch it go by. And sometimes pretty young ladies will go by and it might catch your eye and you watch it, but that's it then. That's it. Integrity in marriage. Honor the vows that you take. Too many men and women, but we're talking about Father's Day, don't honor the vows that they take. The vows that you take are to honor, cherish, to live with them according to God's holy ordinance, to care for them in sickness and in health, richer for poorer, as long as you both shall live. That's integrity in marriage, your vow that you take. God says, when you vow a vow unto the Lord thy God, thou shalt not slack to pay it. For the Lord will surely require it of thee, and it would be sin in thee if you don't keep the vow. Sin in you, because that's the problem. There's sin in us, has not been taken care of, if we're not going to fulfill that vow. They're very serious. Vows are very serious with God. You know, we've got to the point today where vows are not considered very much. You know, it used to be, some of you, my contemporaries, can remember, when you sold a piece of property or something like that, you went up and you said, okay, and you shook the hand. You didn't have to have a lawyer draw up five different pieces of paper for you to sign. And most of them aren't worth the paper they're written on anyhow. And you shook their hand, and that was it. Come whatever it was, root hog or die, you were going to fulfill what you shook that person's hand for. Because, as my dad would always say, a man or a woman is only as good as their word. They're only as good as their word. Listen to what Ecclesiastes says. When you vow a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Now the fool said in his heart, there is no God. In other words, he doesn't think God is going to hear or going to pay any attention to it. He has no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. In other words, do what you said you're going to do. It better it is that you should not vow than that you should vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Neither say before the angel, oh, I just a mistake. I shouldn't have done that. No. Don't say that. Don't say that. Listen to what he says. Next slide. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thine hands? Because you don't fulfill your vow. Is it any wonder sometimes that men that walk away from their vows and they break their vows and they end up in a lot of problems, financial problems or something? God says, why should he destroy the works of your hands? Because you're not faithful to your vow that you took. You don't know what I have to put up with. No, I don't. But God does. See, when your integrity, and you do it, allow inspection by other people. You aren't afraid to be inspected. What are you trying to hide? Someone look you over. I remember one time preacher went, next slide. I remember preacher went one time and visiting this lady. Now, he wasn't being proud about it, but she was complaining about all the hypocrites in the church. And Eric, you know, the devil try to keep people away from church. They'll point out the worst person in the church, you know, complainer, whiner, and everything like that. And he was visiting, she said, I just like to see a true Christian, she said. He stood up and he says, look me over, sister. Look me over. He was a good Christian man that said that, wasn't me. He was a good Christian man. See, allow inspection of others. We will not be humanly perfect, but our hearts can be perfect with God. And if we are right with God and doing what we should, we shouldn't chafe at the idea of people watching us. We sing that little children's song, "Be careful, little feet, where you go. Be careful, little hands, what you do. Careful, little eyes, what you see." I think it said, "Be careful, little ears, what you hear, too. And be careful, little mouth, what you say." Why? Because your Father up above is looking down in love. So be careful. The inspection. God is inspecting us as we go. The angels are inspecting us as we go. So why not? Why do we chafe at the idea of someone else watching us and inspecting our life as a father, a husband, you see? Next slide. Surrender our rights to God. That's what we have to do, guys. We have to surrender our rights to God. See, I got the right to my privacy. Yeah, you do, but sometimes you need to surrender that right in order to be what we're supposed to be. See, God can protect our rights. Too often we fight for our rights and we win the battle, but we lose the war and our families are taken prisoner because we got to have our rights. We fight for them. Got to have my rights. But you see, God can take care of our rights. He can protect them. We fight and we win the battle, but then we lose our family. They're taken prisoner by the enemy. Humble. A part of it, being humble. Peter says this, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." Part is humbling ourselves. Admit your faults. Admit our faults. I'm looking over the congregation. I don't see a person here that doesn't have a fault. Even if there's a mirror here, I don't see a person that doesn't have a fault. Admit our faults. Sometimes we have to admit more than other people. Don't cover them up. Don't hide them behind that macho-ness. Yeah. Do dumb things sometimes. We have faults. You were talking about being men of integrity. Be active spiritually, men. Take a proactive role in spiritual things. See, too many men allow the wife to be the main instructor of spiritual things in the family. Now, I know men work, I know you guys work long hours. I realize that. I know. I used to be in public works. I think every preacher should work in public works before he goes into the ministry. Should some kind of public work, or say after you're in the ministry, part-time or something like that, because too often we don't understand what those who work do. I know when we served in Kentucky, I worked bivocational. I can remember one morning going to work, and I clocked in at 6 o'clock in the morning. And the next time I clocked out was 6 o'clock the next morning. So I know what it is to work long hours. I know what it is. But sometimes we advocate the teaching of spiritual things to our wife, to the mother, rather than taking an active role. I know with the working like that, but you see, if you got a good wife, she'll help you with that, you see. Some don't take an active enough role. Active in the life of your children. Take interest in their schoolwork. I can't do the schoolwork. Okay, learn. See, I can't do math. I got some books up the house can teach you math. Most guys can do math, though. Can't do English. I know, I can't do English either. Just ask my Sunday school class. I don't spell very good. I'm like that little boy, I don't spell white. That's what my problem is, you know. I know. I look at my class sometimes and say, "Is that spelled right?" You know. And a lot of times I say, "No. He's not, and I have to change it," you know. But take an active role. Provide for him. In other words, importance, display an importance in spiritual things. See, sometimes, as I said in the radio, I've seen too many times. I can't tell how many times, but I've seen too many times. Parents or fathers will send their children to Sunday school and church. They don't come. And when the children grow up to be adults, go to them and say, hey, you dropped out now. Well, I'm an adult. My dad didn't go to Sunday school and church. He's an adult, so I'm an adult now. I don't go to Sunday school and church. See, to learn by example. And we say there, seek first. Go to the next slide. Above all, seek God first. Seek the kingdom of God. Seek what God, His kingdom, His righteousness. Seek it. Spend time in prayer. See, I work long hours. I know you do. You work long hours. You do a good job providing for your family. That's great. But provide for them by seeking God first. Spend time in prayer. If I were to take a survey this morning and ask you, how long do you spend time in prayer? How long this last week did you spend time in prayer? How long would it be? How long would it be? I was disappointed they had did a survey. Someone in the next slide, be the end of it. They did a survey one time, the Brethren in Christ ministers. And they said, how long you spend time in prayer? Now, I put in what I spent time in prayer, spend an hour in prayer. And when they averaged out all the other ministers together along with what I spent in prayer, the average time the ministers spent in prayer was 10 minutes a day. I thought, what? I said, if I put in my 1 hour, 60 minutes, and the average of all comes out to 10 minutes, how long are some of these turkeys spending in prayer? And I call them turkeys because they are. They need to spend more time in prayer. Spend time in prayer. Listen, you don't have to be on your knees in a dark corner someplace to pray. You can pray on the way to work. And sometimes you better pray while you're at work with things that go on. Yes. But spending time in prayer is important. That's your connection with heaven. How long? Why do you pray for your children? You think you pray for them when they're young. Wait till they get out of school and they get to work. You're going to pray for them even more. Stand in the gap for them. Pray. Ask God, and especially the most important thing, that they would seek the God that you serve. Now, if you're not serving God, in big trouble. The God that you serve. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, I thank you for all these men here today. I thank you, Father, they're hardworking men providing for their families. But I pray, Father, that some of the things that we said here will find a resting place in their heart and their soul. We believe they're good fathers. We believe that they've done a good job. But it isn't to beat them, but to encourage and challenge them to move forward and be a better father. You're our example. We pray now that you'll be with us throughout this day and that your blessing be upon every one of these men, whether they're a father biologically or not, that they be encouraged, that they would be a good father one day. So, Father, we ask now you'll take us on our way from here. Help us in our recording. And we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen.